I just think it's a good thing to remind ourselves who God is, because in the middle of life, sometimes we can forget, we can get distracted, and really that's what Christmas time is all about, right? It's God revealing to us who he is, showing us what he's like by sending his son Jesus. Like, you want to know who God is? You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. He's God with skin on, as we're going to talk about next week. But, when we think about the Christmas story, most of us, we think about that story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, you know, and the angels show up and the shepherds go to visit him, and then some wise men show up with really weird gifts, and we have these little manger scenes that we set up in our homes or stable scenes or whatever. Some of them you have them on your yard, some of them you even put them on your car, and that really looks like the Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, eating another dinosaur. Sorry, it's true, though. That's what it looks like. But you know, that's what we think of when we think of the Christmas story. But that's not the Christmas story we're talking about right now. We're talking about the other Christmas story. Did you know there's another Christmas story? It's actually found in the Gospel of John. And it's found in the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John. And like we said last week, Matthew begins with the birth of Jesus. Mark begins his gospel with the baptism of Jesus. Luke begins his story with the birth of Jesus. But John begins his story unlike any of them. He begins his story at the beginning of time. He begins his story before there was time, before there was a world. And last week, we looked at verses 1 through 5 of John 1 through 14. Like I said, this week, and next week are really one sermon split over 3 weeks. So today's like the middle section, you know. It's like the second part of the trilogy. But let's just remind ourselves of the first part that we looked at last week. We're going to look at these verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, instead of beginning with the birth of Jesus, John takes us all the way back to the beginning of time, to focus on Jesus being the one who was pre-existent, the one who was before everything, the one who is eternal, the one who is the creator, the one who is divine. See, John right up front has an agenda, and he's not messing around. We don't have to wonder what John's agenda is. His agenda right up front is he wants us to know who Jesus is. That Jesus wasn't just another man, that Jesus was and is God. See, John wants us to know what God was like, and so he introduces us to Jesus, that Jesus was the one who's the source of true life. Jesus was the one who was the creator of everything that was created. But then, as we're going to see today, after John does this and introduces us to Jesus, he does something really weird. He stops talking about Jesus for a minute, which is odd, because why in the world would John go from talking about Jesus, who he wants us to know all about, to talking about somebody else? Why would he make this shift? Well, we're going to see that in a minute. Now, I just need to make a little disclaimer, because today's sermon really involves two Johns. It involves the Apostle John, who's the guy that wrote this. He wrote this account. He's the guy that was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He had a brother named James. He used to be a fisherman, and then Jesus called him to be one of his followers, and so he left his family, he left his job, he left a good career, he left a stable life to follow Jesus. He ended up being exiled on the island of Patmos at the end of his life because he was a follower of Jesus. There's the Apostle John. He's the writer of this gospel. But there's another John that he's going to introduce us to, and that's John the Baptist. Now, I know it can be a little confusing. John the Baptist wasn't literally a Baptist like we think of Baptist. He was called John the Baptist because he was known for baptizing people. People just called him John, but we've named him John the Baptist to separate him from John the Apostle. So, you got that? There's two Johns. John the Apostle and John the Baptist. I'm going to try my best to keep them separated as we kind of read this story. But John the Apostle introduces us to John the Baptist by saying this. Look at verse 6. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Right here, we get this introduction to a new John. John the Baptist. And right up front, when John the Apostle introduces us to John the Baptist, he makes this clear distinction by saying that John the Baptist was different from Jesus. That John the Baptist was just a man a man who was sent from God. Remember what John the Apostle said about Jesus last week? He said that he was God. Here he differentiates John the Baptist from Jesus by saying that he was a man sent from God. He wants us to know that right up front. At the beginning of his gospel, that John the Baptist was not Jesus, that John the Baptist was not God, that John the Baptist was not the Messiah. What makes me wonder, why in the world would John the Apostle shift right here at the beginning of his gospel when he's trying to tell us who Jesus is? Why would he shift to talking about this new guy named John? Well, I think it's because he wanted to clarify for his readers back in the first century and us today who John was and who Jesus was and who was not Jesus. And this guy named John was not Jesus. See, there was an early heresy that developed around the first century and the second century, and it developed around John the Baptist. See, John the Baptist was extremely popular. Everybody flocked to go see John out in the wilderness. And the reason why is because he walked around in camel's hair and this belt around and ate locust and wild honey. I mean, wouldn't you go see the guy? I mean, it's like a freak show, really, right? That's who John the Baptist was, and everybody flocked to see him, and he had one message. Do you remember what his message was? Repent. Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. And so people were coming from all over the place to see John down at John the Baptist down at the Jordan River. So they were being baptized by, you know, the boatloads, there are all these people doing that. And so he was extremely popular. And a lot of people thought that John the Baptist, maybe John the Baptist was the Messiah they'd been looking for. In fact, later on in this chapter, if you read the whole chapter, there's this interaction between John the Baptist and the religious leaders. And the religious leaders just confront him one day and say, hey, who are you? Like, are you the Messiah? And John straight up says, nope, I'm not him. Well, then who are you? They say. He says, I'm a voice that's come to prepare the way for the Lord. That's who he says. I'm just one who's coming to prepare the way. But that didn't stop people from kind of thinking that John was the Messiah, because John had this really weird death. He was beheaded by Herod, you know, because he called out some sin in Herod's life. And so he kind of became this phenomenon in the first century. He was a first century celebrity. So around him, this cult kind of formed that really was saying that he was the Messiah. Well, John the Apostle wanted to make sure that his audience and wanted to make sure that us that are reading this today know that Jesus was the Messiah and not John the Baptist. That John the Baptist was just a man sent from God. Really important. Well, he goes on. Why was this man sent from God? He says this in verses 7 and 8. He says he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You want to know why John the Baptist came? Why God sent this man named John? Well, John the Baptist was sent to be a witness. He was one who was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. He was one who was sent to point people to Jesus. In fact, John points out who Jesus is, sends some of his disciples to follow Jesus, because John was not the Messiah. He was just the one who was sent to point out the Messiah. But I want you to notice in verse 8, this distinction. No, just leave it up there. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. John wants to make clear, in case there's any confusion, that John the Baptist is not the light. He is not the Messiah. He came only as a witness to the light. Now you can go to verse 7, because there's something interesting in verse 7 that I don't want us to miss. It says he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. Look at the second part of that verse. So that through him all might believe. We're introduced to something here that's very, very important to the Apostle John. It's something he talks about over and over again. And what we're introduced to here is this universal invitation of God. Now, I know you're like, what does that mean, the universal invitation of God? You know, what are you talking about there? Well, basically, the universal invitation of God says that Jesus didn't just come for a select few. Jesus didn't just come for a certain race. See, there were certain people, specifically in this day and time, the Jews, who thought that the Messiah was only for them, and everybody else was left out. But the universal invitation of God says that the Messiah is for everybody. No matter where you're from, no matter your race, no matter your background, no matter if you've got money or you don't have money, no matter if you have your act together, if you don't have your act together, whether you behave and follow the rules or you break all the rules, Jesus is for everyone. That's what the universal invitation of God is all about. And that is exactly what John the Apostle is pointing out at the end of this verse. In fact, what he says here might sound a little bit familiar because Jesus repeats this in the most famous verse in the entire Bible, John 3:16. You know what? We're going to put it up on the screen. For God so loved the world. Now, who's the world? Is that a select few? Is that a limited number? No, the world encompasses everybody. All of us, the people who are like you, the people who aren't like you, the people you like, the people you don't like, all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, the universal invitation of God that salvation is available to everyone through Jesus wasn't just a theme for John the Apostle. It was a theme for Jesus. It was something that he wanted to make clear, that Jesus is for all, salvation is through all, and that salvation comes through belief in Jesus. But a little word believe is very, very interesting. Notice here it says that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We're a little confused in the English language about the word believe. Because when we think of believe, we just think of kind of intellectually acknowledging a fact. That we are assenting that something is true. Like, I believe the sky is blue. Everybody out here believe the sky is blue? If you don't, you might have a, you know, psychological mental illness problem. Some of you had that anyway. But that we believe something that's a fact. The sky is blue. The carpet in here is gray with little speckles. At least I think it is. I'm a little colorblind. But that the chair you're sitting in is green, right? That we acknowledge a fact, that we have this assent that something is true. But not only does Jesus use the word belief here, but go back to verse 7 for a minute, because notice what John the Apostle writes. He says that through him all might believe. He also uses this word believe. I think we need to figure out what this word believe means, because it's very, very important to both Jesus and the Apostle John. And it means more than just an intellectual agreement or a cognitive agreement. It has at its root this idea of trust and faith. Trust and faith. It's not an emotional feeling. It's not this cognitive belief. It's the idea of this intentional and volitional trust in commitment to the person of Jesus in an ongoing relationship. It's that you trust in Jesus. Then you don't just say, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. No, I actually trust in him with my life. I'm depending on him with my life. It carries with it this idea of obedience, that I'm not just gonna say, I believe in Jesus. No, I'm gonna do what Jesus tells me to do. That's what the word believe means. And so a saving relationship is available to all through trust and faith in Jesus. John the Apostle wants us to know that right here at the beginning of his gospel. Jesus wanted us to know that. So he came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. But then he says this in verse 8. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John reemphasizes, just so that there's no confusion, that John the Baptist was not the light. John the Baptist was not the Messiah that people had been looking for. Who was John the Baptist? He was a witness to the light. He was the one who had come to point out the light to everyone else. See, later on, actually, in this same chapter, John does exactly this. Jesus walks by and he says, look, see that guy right there? That's the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world. You thought it was me, it's not me. One time he says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Like, don't be confused about it. I'm just a messenger here. I'm just one who's come to prepare the way. I am not the Messiah. That's the Messiah, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who's come to take away the sins of the world. So he himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. Let's reread all these verses so we can get them stuck in our head for just a minute and then talk about what we're going to do with them. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So in light of what John the Apostle right here says about John the Baptist, what are our takeaways? Because we could read this and be like, oh, that's interesting to know about John the Baptist. He wasn't the Messiah. He just came to point out the Messiah. But I don't think that John the Apostle put this information about John the Baptist in his gospel just so that we could just say, oh, that's nice. I think he wants us to do something with it. So what are our takeaways? What can we do with this information? Well, first, and this is probably the most challenging part, we need to make sure that there's not something else that's taking the place of Jesus in our lives. We need to make sure that there's not something else that's taking the place of Jesus in our lives. Now, see, I think for all of us, if we're honest, we're a lot like those first century groups, those first century cults, who were looking to something other than Jesus to save them. How often do you look to something other than Jesus to be your savior? Maybe for you, it's a hobby. Maybe it's your job or your career. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's money. You know what the Bible calls anything that takes the place of Jesus in our lives? An idol. An idol. And most of us would be like, oh, I'm not an idol worshiper. I don't like have a little statue in my house, you know, up next to, well, we do right now. They're in the shape of trees, right? But, you know, you don't go and bow down to that every day and offer your prayers and light your candles to that. I'm not an idol worshiper, but the truth is all of us are idol worshipers. You know why? Because all of us have things in our lives that take the place of Jesus. All of us have things in our lives that we trust in other than Jesus. Think about it this way. What are you trusting in other than Jesus? Are you trusting in your income? Are you trusting in your relationships? Are you trusting in the fact that your lottery ticket's gonna have all the right numbers? You know? I mean, what is it that's taking the place of Jesus in your life? See, anything that takes the place of Jesus in our lives is an idol. And John the Apostle warns us against idols. See, what's amazing about John the Baptist, Jesus said that there was no one greater born on the face of the planet than John the Baptist. He's the greatest man who'd ever been born. You can see why he might be an idol, you know, why people might want to follow him instead of Jesus. I mean, he's this great guy. But this section warns against putting anything in the place of Jesus in our lives. And if there's something in your life, and I'm pretty sure there probably is, it's taking the place of Jesus, I'm just going to tell you what John the Baptist told people: to repent. To turn away from that. So we need to ask ourselves, is there anything, is there something in our lives taking the place of Jesus? The second thing, takeaway, I want us to take from this is something that's kind of profound, because none of us want to be known as the guy who wears camel hair and eats locusts and wild honey, right? I mean, maybe some of you, but you're weird. We don't want people to call us that. But you know what? You are the John the Baptist of your world. Do you realize that? If you call yourself a Christian, you are the John the Baptist of your world. You are the one who is supposed to be a witness to the light. John's call is the same as your call. You are called to be a witness to the light. So let me ask you, how's that going for you? How are you reflecting on the light? And I think if we're honest, that's also convicting, because most of the time we don't reflect all that well on the light. But you know what? We have this amazing calling that we are called to be a witness to the light. Can you put up verse 6 real fast, Trey? Because this is fascinating. I almost forgot to mention this. When it says that there was a man who was sent from God, that verb right there, sent, is the same word that we get our word apostle from. And if you've been here at Hub City for the last couple months, we talked about what it means to be an apostle. An apostle is a sent one. It's one who is sent out. And all of us as followers of Jesus have this, we're all sent people, but some of us have this unique calling of being these spiritual entrepreneurs, right? But this section reminds us right now that all of us are called to be a witness to light. All of us have this calling from God to shine the light on who Jesus is and what he's like. So let me ask you, how's that going for you? How are you shining the light on Jesus? Which leads to the list of to-dos. You can put that back up there, Trey. Thanks. I do want you to ask yourself this question. Is there something taking the place of Jesus, taking Jesus' place in your life? Is there something? To be honest with yourself. And if you're not sure how to answer that, ask somebody who knows you well, because they probably see it, right? What are those things that distract you, that you put your hope in other than Jesus? Is something taking the place of Jesus in your life? I don't know why I put that question in there twice, by the way. I don't know how I did that. So I apologize for that. That's terrible. Because the next question is supposed to be, it's not a question, it's a statement. Just imagine that it says it right here. Look, I'll stand in front of it. Look for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Look for opportunities to point people to Jesus. Look for opportunities to be John the Baptist in your world. I think there are opportunities all around us. And the reason why I think there are opportunities around us goes back to the universal invitation of God. The salvation is available to everyone. It's not like God sitting up in heaven and going, no, not them. I know that you work with that person and they get on your nerves. They get on my nerves too. So just leave them out, okay? The invitation's not available to them. It's not true. Invitation's available to all. And that's why we need to look for opportunities to point people to Jesus. And the last thing I want you to do is I want you to memorize this section. And I talked about that last week. But memorization of scripture is so, so important. It's how we know how to follow Jesus. It's how we know how to live for Jesus. And this is an incredibly easy section of scripture to memorize. Some of you are already working on it. Some of you are struggling through it. But I want to encourage you to memorize this section, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 14. And I know that some of you are like, I can't memorize this. So I'm going to say the same thing I said last week. We do what's important to us. We do. We make time for what's important to us. So if you're like me, like I have all these football scores from yesterday memorized. And I just read them this morning. Like I know, right? I know stats from games yesterday. If I can do that, and my kids already tell me I have, you know, early onset Alzheimer's. If I can do that, you can memorize these verses. It just takes some intention. It takes some discipline. But memorize these passages. Let me read it one more time. Put them all up there. Just so we can get it stuck in our head. In the beginning, you know, we're going to do the whole thing. That's good. Yep. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to look at John the Baptist in this figurative way that John the Apostle introduces him to us. I thank you for what we can learn from his life, that he had this calling, that he was sent from you on a mission to shine the light on who Jesus was, to point people to Jesus. And I want to thank you that you have given that same calling to all of us who are followers of Jesus today, that we are a sent people, that we are a people who are supposed to be pointing people to you. And would you give us the courage and the opportunity and the discipline to do that? Help us to be looking throughout this week for opportunities to point people to you. But also at the same time, God, I ask that you would point out anything in our lives that's in your place. Anything in our lives that's an idol, that we replace you with it. Would you just convict us of that and lead us to repentance? So that we can live out the calling that you have given us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to look at the other Christmas story. Would you just prepare our hearts for next week, but right now, would you give us the courage to be obedient to what it is that you're calling us to do? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to respond by taking communion together. So if you've got the little cup in the room, you can pull that out if you're at home. I hope you have something to use. What's pretty amazing is whether you're at home online or you're in the room, when we take communion together, we're joining in this act of worship where we are remembering our Savior. But I just want to remind you of something about communion. You know, this is just, there's a little wafer here, a little cup of juice. But every time we take communion together, we're being a witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we do that, when we take communion together, we are witnessing over again the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's why we take communion every week here at Hub City Church, because it's an opportunity for us to shine the light on what Jesus has done for us. And so as you take the bread, we're shining the light on the fact that Jesus' body was broken on a cross for you and for me. Let's remember. And as we take the juice, we're shining the light on the fact that Jesus' blood was shed so that your sins could be forgiven. Let's remember. Let me just say, as we remembered what Jesus has done for you, if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, Jesus went to great lengths to make it possible for you to have a personal relationship with God. He sacrificed himself to take care of your sin problem that was separating you from God. And so I would love to talk with you about that. You don't even have to talk to me. You can cry out to God on your own, because he's listening. He's there. He's knocking. He wants you to come to know him.